Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 21 through 26. Romans chapter 3, 21 through 26. We're in a series called The Fullness of Forgiveness. And I want to encourage you, if you didn't hear last week's message, oh man, let me tell you, God set some stuff right inside of us last week. Go on the podcast. It's absolutely free. Grab last week's message. Last week's message was on the fountain of forgiveness. We discussed and discovered that the fountain of forgiveness was the blood of Jesus Christ. And we talked about when the blood of Jesus Christ starts flowing in your life and when you receive the fullness of what the blood of Jesus has done in forgiveness, then you will no longer condemn yourself. There'll be no condemnation. There'll be no accusation from the enemy. And there'll be no intimidation, which means you can't even make yourself feel bad about you. Come on, somebody. So if you missed that week's message, I'm telling you, that week's message has been, last week's message has been resounding in my heart and in my spirit. I've just reminded myself all week, there's therefore now no condemnation for me. Satan, there's no accusation. And you know what, Shayna? Stop intimidating yourself. You're worthy because of the blood of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. I almost want to preach that one again because I don't know if y'all got it, but I'm not. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. You can stay seated. The words are going to appear on your screen because this is like five or six verses. I know y'all ain't used to reading that much in church. We're going to get your weekly Bible reading in. No, I'm just kidding. How often do we read our Bibles here in this church? Some of y'all are like, they read them every day. I read them when I can get to it. Let's try that again. Let's say it as a declaration, as if this is what we're going to do. How often do we read our Bibles? Every day. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries, the words will appear on your screen. But before we do that, would you do me a favor? Stick your fingers in your Bible, lift up your Bible or your electronic devices, and let's say our Bible affirmation together. Ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. Ready? But now, read with me. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Now pay attention to this in the verse. We're going to read this like we actually reading and want to read. Come on, y'all. We're going to read this like we mean it. We're going to mean it, read it like we mad. I don't know what that has to do with it, but we're just going to read it like that. Ready? Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for all those religious words in that passage. Thank you, God, that today we get to unpack all that and we get to discover exactly what the foundation of our forgiveness is. I pray today, Father, that you would move me aside. Holy Spirit, you'll come in. Give me strength. Give me power. But, Lord, more than anything, connect with the hearts of each and every person here so that we will walk away understanding what it means to be justified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today, the title of my message is The Foundation of Forgiveness. And there is one word that is locked up in all of those passages in Romans chapter 3. Now, what's interesting is as you read Romans chapter 3, it is a lot of churchy words. I ain't even gonna lie. Redemption, propitiation, righteousness, justification, forbearance. I was like, look, God, I'm gonna have to need a dictionary to read this section because this is confusing. But as I was reading through, the Lord said, I just want you to focus on one word today. Now, we'll talk about those other words at another time, propitiation, all that stuff. We'll deal with that later. If you're really, really like, I got to know what this is, just go pick up a dictionary, Google it, and you'll get the answers right away. If you're like Pastor Jen and you can't wait to know how the story go in or hear the lecture later, just get the definition and read it now. But today I just want to talk about justification. Because if you look in verse 22, this point where, or 23, where I had us kind of focus, it says, for all have sinned. How many of y'all in here say, I never sinned? Good. Don't raise your hand, because the Bible says you're lying if you say you ain't never sinned. Okay? For everybody has sinned. Everybody has messed up. Everybody has done some dirt somewhere. Come on, I don't care how good you are, how nice you are, how sweet you are. Everybody done did some dirt somewhere in the back of the... Some of us are still doing dirt. I cussed somebody last week. I ain't mean to. So... See, everybody want to come to church like, oh, we're so holy now, I never sin because I'm saved. Shut up and stop lying. We still sin. We still mess up. And I'm, look, don't look at me like I'm your pastor and I'm supposed to be perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus and I'm completely forgiven. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all, see, we want to put pastors and we want to put spiritual leaders and we want to put people on these pedestals where they can never make a mistake. And then when they make a mistake, you know what they say? People say to you, you know, they do it to you at work too. When you make a mistake, you know what they say? I thought you was a Christian. And I used to go home and feel bad. Well, you're right, I messed that up. And then I start saying, you know what I start saying now? I said, I am a Christian. I'm a Christian who cusses but saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God is working on that cussing thing in me. It ain't going to last forever. Come on, it's gotten way better than it used to be. But praise his holy name. Sometimes it still slip out. Don't be looking at me acting all crazy and hype and talking about she's still cussing. Come on, you still doing your dirt too. We've got to stop being Christians who say we can never make a mistake. Because that in itself will never, ever, ever pass. Because we're always going to keep messing up. The challenge when it comes to the understanding the foundation of forgiveness is what happens after we mess up. What goes on up here? What goes on in here? What goes on in my relationship with God? And that's where this word justification comes from. Because he says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified, what we're going to talk about in just a second, freely, which means this gift of justification we're going to talk about is absolutely free by his grace. Through the redemption being paid back with the blood of Jesus Christ so that we can have a right relationship with God. And then I love verse 26. He said he did this to demonstrate that he might be just and that he is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So what is justification? I figure I'd start with a story that will help you understand it. Because I can give you a definition, but if I give you an illustration, it'll ring true a little bit. There was once a husband named Saul and a wife named Ethel, and Saul did something really stupid. Now, I bet y'all want to know what it is. I'm not going to tell you because it doesn't matter. But when he messed up, his wife Ethel went into town. She started going off on him. She chewed him out, and he got so upset and he got so convicted, he apologized. Some of the brothers are like, this sounds like a familiar story to me. He apologized. They made up. From time to time, Ethel would come back and she would mention what he did. The brothers are like, amen. She would come back and mention what he had done when he had messed up. And one day Saul said, look, honey, look. Why do you keep bringing that up? Some of the men are like, are you in our house? He's like, I thought that our policy, or more importantly, your policy was to forgive and forget. And you know what Ethel said? Ethel said, it is. That is my policy. I just don't want you to forget that I've forgiven and forgotten. Today, I forgive you and I forget you, but I just don't want you to forget that I'm the one who forgave you and forgot and that I forgot. So when we talk about justification is this. It is that we have been forgiven and God has declared us, watch this, completely guilt-free. He has acquitted us of our sins, and here's the fun part. And he never brings it up again. This is what justification means. Let me say that again. Justification means that God has declared that we are innocent of whatever sin we just committed, and he will never bring it up again. Okay. See, I'm going to have to really explain this to y'all because that should have made you shout right there. Let me explain why. Justification is like a judge pronouncing the penalty for your sin. And God is saying, Because of the blood of Jesus, that fountain of forgiveness we talked about last week, because the price was paid, I'm going to, as a judge, make a declaration. And that declaration is this: that sin you never committed, you're acquitted. You know what the word acquit means? It means that you are absolutely free to go as if nothing has ever happened to you, as if you never got charged, as if it was never against you. And some of y'all are sitting here like, this makes no sense to me. How you gonna sit here and tell me that God forgives me and declares me innocent and that I am completely forgiven, so much so that he doesn't remember? I'm going to get to how that happens and why that happens in just a second, but I want to point something out to you, that in order to help you understand what justification is, you must understand the power of God's word. Because when God speaks something into being, it just is. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He is a God who can bring something out of nothing. He is a God who can declare what he wills, and whatever he declares, it shall stand. He is a God who speaks a word, and the whole earth revolves and moves to bring that word to pass. So when God looks at your sin and you ask God to forgive you and he says you are justified, he spoke a word declaring that you are now innocent, come on somebody, and acquitted from your sin. And because he declared that word, his statement was made, and therefore it is so because he said it. Amen. Justification has to do with the fact that we messed up. We come to God, and the fountain of forgiveness, the blood of Jesus, flows, and we receive that. We confess that Jesus Christ paid the price for the sins, and the Father says, that's enough. Payment has been made. I'm going to do away with any penalty that comes with that. He does that, and he declares they are justified from their sin. Justified is a legal term, which means acquitted. It is declared by law, the law of God, that those whose sins, who they've been washed in the blood of Jesus, are erased from your record. His declaration is that I declare that they never sin. I declare they never sin at all. Some of y'all are like, look here, look here. I kind of got a real problem with that. I don't know if your theology is correct, Pastor. I can tell by the way y'all looking. Because if somebody told me, like, okay, let's say this would look like this. If you got charged with murder, and you had done it. Some of y'all are like, I ain't gonna never do that. But let's say you did it, and you know the penalty is for you to be locked up and to receive the death penalty, and you're going to die for what you did. If the judge comes back to you and says, you're acquitted, see, y'all ain't never did nothing bad, but if I'm facing life in prison or the death chamber and somebody says, you're acquitted, you can go. As a matter of fact, this won't be on your record. Nobody will ever even know that you had this charge against you. Nobody can ever hold it against you. Go on and walk out and start a brand new life. I'm sorry, I can't sit here like, woo. I'm be like, yeah, woo-hoo, hallelujah. There's a song that says, you don't know the cost of my oil, you don't know the cost of my praise. What that means is you don't know how much dirt I did that he forgave me from and cleansed me from and purified me from and declared you are justified like nothing ever happened. Come on, girl, let's go start a brand new life. This is the reason why we struggle and we beat ourselves up so much, because we don't understand what it means to be justified. We don't understand that God has declared you innocent. Watch this. Come on, somebody. And that there are no more charges that can ever come against you ever again because of that sin in your life. And he not only says that, but he says, I don't even remember it. I don't remember it. This should set us on a firm foundation, which can cause us to live a life of fruitfulness and peace and confidence and joy and fulfillment and ministry for him. But the problem is, without this foundation, what happens is we start getting a little unsettled in our confidence of who we are. We start struggling with peace. We start struggling with joy and fulfillment. We cannot serve God because we're so busy beating ourselves up over the fact that I messed this thing up. Yeah. you this. If God can build a universe with his word, and you can see it and believe that, how come we can't believe that by his word, I've been justified, forgiven, and he remembers it no more? What does this look like? Here's another illustration. There was a guy who was pretty wealthy, and he decided that he was going from England to the United States, and he was going on vacation. But he didn't want to go on vacation without his Rolls Royce. So he had his Rolls Royce shipped to the U.S. And when he got the U.S., when he got to the Rolls Royce here, the Rolls Royce kind of started acting up a little bit. And so what he did was he called Rolls Royce back in the U.S. and he says, look, I'm having problems with my car. What do you suggest I do? And you know what they said in the U.S.? They said, we'll send a mechanic right over. In England. They said, we'll send a mechanic right over. He's like, wait, you're in England, I'm in the U.S., what are you going to do? He said, we'll send a mechanic, don't worry about it. They flew a mechanic from England to the United States to fix his Rolls Royce. Now, can you imagine how much that cost? So after the mechanic flew back and after the car was working, he realized he never got a bill. So he called the people back. He says, I just want to get the bill. How much do I owe you? And the people said, look, sir, there's no record in our files anywhere that anything ever went wrong with your Rolls Royce. We don't see it. No payment required. And he's like, No. I saw the man come and fix the car. And they're like, but we have no record of it. So don't worry about it. Just go. No. This guy, come on. The plane cost everything. There's got to be something new. No, sir. We have no record. See, this is what happens when you mess up. You sin, and you call, and you talk to God, and you say, God, forgive me. He forgives you. And then you get ready to talk to God. God, you know, I really messed this one up. God is like, what are you talking about? I have no record of that. I have no record of that. And you're like, no, hold up. I got a record of it. I know it happened. Are you telling me, God, that you just absolutely forgets? Yeah. When Shayna Heard calls to heaven about a sin, and I talked to God about that sin, once I've asked him to forgive me, there is absolutely no record that Shayna Heard ever sinned in heaven. No record. Now here's the challenge. I get to choose whether I live in that privilege because of what God has said, or I can try to go through the rest of my life and act like God hasn't really forgiven me and forgotten it. But that choice is mine. He were justified freely, verse 24 says, by his grace. Freely. It cost you nothing. Freely, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then what I love is not only, it's one thing if he says, I declare you innocent. I declare as if it's never happened. But what gets me is he says, and I don't remember it. Like, I have no record. I was like, wait, hold up, God. Come on. You know, beginning to end, we ain't stupid. You know and I know I messed this thing up. What you mean you got no record? Look, Jeremiah 31:34 says this. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember no more. Isn't it funny how people always remember but God don't? You don't like that because you're like, I don't believe that. That was just one place in scripture. Hebrews 10:17 says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Amen. I said, maybe God, I don't understand what remember means. Because in my mind, when I say that I ain't going to remember no more, I remember. What would life be like if we walked in forgiveness and we stopped remembering what we did? What if we had the mind of God where we stopped remembering? So I said, God, look here. Maybe in the Greek, remember means something different than what I know remember is. And I looked it up in the Greek. And in the Greek, the word remember is this Greek word mnemesko. And some of y'all trying to spell it, look it up on Blue Letter Bible. I don't care. Mnemesko. It means to recall, which is an action, to recall to one's mind, to remind, or bring back into remembrance. To remember means that I have to go through the files of my memory and choose to recall what has happened. When God says, you've sinned, you've been forgiven, your sins and your lawless acts, I will remember no more. God is saying, I choose not to go back in the files of my memory bank. I choose not to go back and see what you, I know you did it. I'm not stupid. He's God. He don't completely like, oh, I'm dumb. I'll never know. No. But what he says is, I'm choosing not to go back in the files of my mind and recall and bring up what you did. So when God says we are justified, which means he declares that sin never happened in the first place, he said that I declare that sin has never happened in the first place, and I will not recall, or I will not call to mind, I will not remind myself of your sin. I will not bring back into remembrance what you did. He says, I have forgiven you, and I have chosen to never bring it up again. Not like that wife, but really never bring it up again. Even to the point of creating actions towards you as if you never even committed the sin. But what's funny is we keep living doubting that God means what he says. God don't really mean that. God says your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Now I want to say this. Either God meant what he said or he didn't. If you can't believe this, then stop believing the other stuff in the Bible. Because either you believe that he says what he says and it's true, or you don't. Think about this. If you don't believe one thing that God has said, you have just said that God is a liar. Just one little thing. No, but I believe this. No. If you're a liar, that's your character. So one lie is a lie, which makes you a liar. So if you can't believe this one thing, that he will not remember your sins anymore, that he has completely forgiven you and declared you're innocent as though you never did it, then you are declaring that God is a liar. And if you declare that God is a liar, I got a little problem with that, because Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make good? Behold, God says, I've received a command to bless, he's blessed, and this man says, I can't reverse it. Look, you cannot reverse the justification on your life. He said it, that settles it. Stop calling him and acting like he's a liar by bringing it up and beating yourself up. Stop beating yourself up over what you have already done, confessed, and been declared completely innocent of. Stop going back over and over and over and over and over again, because God is like, I don't know what you're talking about. God, I know you forgave me. I messed up so bad. God, I just did this so wrong. And he's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Can we move on to something else that matters? Because I thought we settled that. I don't even know what you're dealing with. What is going on with you? It's done. It's settled. It's over. God says, you're not guilty. You never even sinned. How can you do that, God? Well, Jesus took our place on the cross. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. The wages of sin is death. Jesus took our place on the cross. The fountain of forgiveness started to flow. If Jesus took our place on the cross, that means he lived the life that he should have lived, which was death. We then got an exchange, which means we should live the life that he lived, which was sinless. So God is saying, if he took your place and you took his, that means you're sinless, and he never sinned. So if I'm looking at you like I looked at Jesus, and you start talking about what you did, I can't comprehend, because Jesus never sinned, so I can't comprehend what you're talking about, because you died on the cross. Your mess died on the, y'all don't want to hear this. Some of y'all are struggling because you're like, hold up, I got a lot of problems with this. I got a lot of problems. One of the problems I got is you can say that we don't remember your sins anymore, but there's still consequences to my sin. If I have sex outside of marriage and I have a child, God's word talks about not having sex outside of marriage, and I say, Lord, forgive me, he says, done. It says, if you never sinned before in my eyes. But I still got to deal with this child every day. This child is still there. So it's hard for me to look at the child and not remember my mess. But God looks at the child and says, I've just blessed you with a gift. Y'all, no. You don't know. They crazy. Them kids crazy. God don't see it that way. God says, the first time you talk to me, I get it. I'm going to declare that you are free from the guilt of sex outside of marriage. You're not guilty. But the consequences remain. And when the consequences remain, you know what God is doing? God is using those consequences to make us more like him. So he don't see them as a bad thing. He sees them as an opportunity to get you, come on somebody, to get where he's... I don't know too many people who've had children outside of marriage who have not at some point in the course, at some point, maybe not today, maybe not every day, but at some point have not seen those children as a blessing from the Lord. To see that God can use them to transform. Look, some of y'all stopped being hoes because you had kids. If it wasn't for the kid, you'd have still been hoeing. Y'all, see, ain't no kids here today. I can be honest. Some of y'all was players until you had a baby. And then you got the baby and you said, I wouldn't want nobody to do that to my little girl, so I'm going to stop being a player. See, look, God, the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and have been called according to his purpose. So even the consequences of your mess will work together for God's good. So stop sitting there beating yourself up. I shouldn't have done. And just say, thank you, God, that you blessed me. Thank you, God, for thank you that I'm forgiven and thank you that I'm blessed. I don't know how I'm going to make it with these kids. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to praise you anyway because you're doing a work inside of me because all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and have been called according to his purpose. Stop beating yourself up for your mess. The only person trying to beat you up for your mess is Satan and you. And the one that matters is God. He says, enough. Well, I don't understand that, Pastor. So what? You don't understand a lot of stuff. That don't mean it ain't true. You don't understand the theory of relativity. You don't understand E equals MC squared. You don't even know what them letters mean. You don't understand gravity. You don't understand a lot of stuff. You don't understand the concept of electricity, but you flip a light on and turn it and it comes on. Anyway, nobody cares if you don't understand. Your understanding does not make it right or not. It is right because God said it and that settles it. I don't get it, Pastor. Well, you know what? God says, fine. Come on, Isaiah 118. Come on together. Let's reason. Let's talk about this thing. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. You sitting there like, God, I don't get it. And God says, you know what? I'm trying to reason with you and tell you it's over. But I'm going to tell you this. It's hard to debate someone who spoke and the universe came into existence. Even though he says, come, let us reason together. I mean, what reason you really got? He spoke the world. If he want to say you justified, let him say it. Y'all know if somebody wiped a bill clean for you, like that man with the Rolls Royce, you only going to say it one good time. You sure? And then you're going to roll on out like, look at Jesus. Why don't we do that with our sins with God? You sure I'm clean? Yep. All right, let's go. Well, Pastor, I'm saved already, and I get all my previous sins have been forgiven. But what about my today's sins? I mean, I messed up again. Some of y'all had them days where, you know, you wake up, and you first wake up, and it was dark, and you stub your toe. You mad that you stub your toe. You try to put your clothes on, and clothes got they dirty. You thought you cleaned them, but they still dirty. So you're mad about that. You go to get your coffee, but nobody brought coffee in the house, and you ain't got no coffee. You know you don't function well without coffee. And then you get in your car, and as you're driving on the way to work, somebody cuts you off, and because of all the other stuff that happened, you done cussed them out because, you know what, I can't be having that today because it's been a rough day already. It's only 8 o'clock in the morning, and yes, Jesus, I'm mad as you know what. And then you get to work, and somebody come up to you, and you know what they say? You say, you know, you've been talking about healing, and I found out my mama got cancer. Can you pray for me? What you want to say is, heck no. Somebody thought I was going to say it. Ha ha, gotcha. Heck no, I can't pray. That's what you want to say. What you want to say is not today, not today. Any other day but today. But God brought them right in that moment. After you done cuss somebody out on the way to work. And said, use that same mouth you used to cuss somebody out with to pray and speak healing over them. And you can't reconcile that. And so you know what we do? We just say, yeah. And we walk away mad. And we act like we're going to pray and we never do. Because we're still beating us up about cussing the man out on the way in. But you know what God says? He says, if you're walking in like that and you forgot to ask me forgiveness, just say, give me 5 minutes. Go to the bathroom, go to your car. You know, sometimes I just go to the bathroom, close the stall, and stand there. Be like, look, Jesus, I screwed this one up. And you begin to talk to God. And you ask him for forgiveness, and you receive the fact that because you died on the cross for me and the fountain of forgiveness is flowing and your blood is flowing, I'm not condemned. There's no accusation. There is no intimidation. Lord, use me in this moment to bring healing. Forgive me. Wash me clean and let me go forth and let me speak your word. Holy Spirit, give me a word to bring healing to that person. And then you open the stall door. You come out, almost come out like you busting out of somewhere like you're in a movie. Bam, let's go. I'm about to bring healing today. But you got to take those moments to stop and remind yourself, I received the forgiveness of God. I'm completely justified. No, I'm not qualified for this, but that's what he left his Holy Spirit for. I don't have to be qualified. Holy Spirit, you speak the words to me. I don't have to be perfect. Lord, you speak the words through me. Some of y'all are like, okay, that's good, but what about the stuff I did wrong and I keep on doing wrong, knowing that it's wrong? And I'm trying to stop, but I ain't quite got that right yet. What am I supposed to do with that, Jesus? How am I supposed to deal with that? 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin and deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. So Jesus is like, I already know you got it in there. I already know you still struggling with that mess. But every time you ask me to forgive you, I'm still saying it's done. But I don't understand. You know what God says? Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So stop trying to figure it out. It boils down to this. What word are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God's word about you? Or are you going to believe your own word about you? So I'm going to tell you the truth. One of them ain't got no power. And it ain't God's word. It's not God's word. We have to stop living our lives like the Clorox and the laundry detergent commercials. What do you mean? You know how they always show them white t-shirts? Both of them been washed. One been washed with the right stuff. And it's all pure and white. And the other one washed and it's still gray. Both been washed, but one is clean and white and one is gray and white. We come to Jesus, and when we first come to Jesus, we feel like his blood cleanses like that good old right, good Clorox bleach, and we pure as snow. Then we go and we sin and we ask for forgiveness and we think we don't go back to pure as snow. We go back to gray. I'm kind of clean, but I still messed it up. God says, stop living with some off-brand detergent for your forgiveness. And realize my blood purifies whiter than snow, as if it's brand new. What do I want you to do with this message? Stop beating yourself up. Just stop. God doesn't even remember it. He doesn't remember it. And stop acting like you gotta be so right for so long to earn what you did to be right. Just stop. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. Just receive it. What's our greatest problem? We don't believe God. We don't believe. Psalms 103:2 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. Micah 7:8, I love this one. 7:18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. He will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea.
Amen. Hallelujah.
1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come on and stand to your feet. I know this is like one of those foundational messages in the gospel when we're supposed to have it. But this is one of those things that I don't know if we live like we got it. I don't know if we live like we're completely forgiven that he doesn't remember it. Because the enemy keeps beating us up. Here's what I'm going to ask. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, now's the perfect opportunity to go through the laundry, letting his blood just perfectly cleanse you. No, we ain't going to put no blood on you. It's just in the spiritual. We just believe by faith. If you believe in Jesus that he died on the cross for you, was buried and rose again, then you'll receive forgiveness of your sins and be made white as snow. If you're here today, come on up, our pastors and leaders, those of you on our prayer team, they're going to come up. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, in just a moment, I'm going to pray for our whole church and I'm going to dismiss you, but you can come on up and just talk to them and say, hey, you know what? I need to go through the laundromat. And they'll pray for you. They'll pray for you. You might be here today and you've been living with that gray stain, that gray cloud over your life. God is saying, enough's enough. We don't even have to go back through the laundromat. Let me just deal with it. That gray cloud is in your mind. It's not the truth. Let me just wash it white as snow. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what, this message hit me and I need to receive this, lift your hands. I want to pray with you wherever you are. Just lift your hands. Father, I thank you for every hand that is lifted. I thank you, Lord, that you came to correct this lie that the enemy has been telling us, that even though we're forgiven, you still remember. I declare in the name of Jesus that, God, you declare that each person with their hand lifted, every person who's asked you for forgiveness, that you have declared that they are justified. You have declared that their sin, they are no longer guilty. They are acquitted. You have declared that they have never, ever done that sin. As a matter of fact, God, you don't even remember what they're talking about. Now, Lord, I pray that you will receive that word, that they'll be able to live in such a way, Father God, that they are walking in faith and in joy and in the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit, because they know that they know that they know that I've been forgiven and that God doesn't remember it anymore. Lord, I declare that every voice that is coming up, that is accusing them and beating them up, that it be silenced right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare that, God, your word is bigger than any other voice. Your word has power, that when you speak, God, all of the earth moves and responds. Lord, remind us, those of us with our hands lifted, remind us, Father God, of your word, and may we speak your word every time the enemy says we are not forgiven. May we receive it, and may we walk out with our head held high, our chest held back, our shoulders held back, our chest poked out, with the confidence that we are forgiven, that we are cleansed, that we are made brand new. In Jesus' name. I hear the Lord saying, pick any one of the verses from today. Just memorize it. If the one is their sins and their lawless acts, I will remember them no more. In Hebrews chapter 10, pick that. And every time you start feeling bad, just remind and say to yourself, he said, my sins, he will remember no more. He don't remember. He don't remember. If you'll grab hold of this, I'm going to tell you something. Freedom will happen in your life like never before. Guilt will be gone and you'll be free to do what God has called you to do in a brand new way.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 9-5-1-3-8.